Welcome to the Digital Public Relations Podcast, covering news and trends in the digital space. Produced by the students in the Public Relations Program in the School of Media and Journalism at Kent State University.
Welcome to our podcast. I am your host, Julia.
I'm your host, Shania.
On today's episode of the Digital PR Podcast, we will dive into some PR crises that have been going on. But most importantly, we will discuss the April of 2023 Bud Light boycott and its impact on that company and how they handled the situation.
Yeah, so what is a PR crisis? A PR crisis is a negative event or situation that threatens your brand, image, or reputation of your company. It can be caused by internal or external factors, such as a product defect, a defective product, a customer complaint, a legal issue, or a social media backlash, or even a media scandal.
And like we said before, in 2023, there were a lot of companies that faced a big crisis regarding their branding, and they faced a lot of boycotts. But the company we're focusing on today is Bud Light.
Yeah, so in April of 2023, the company was faced with a crisis after partnering with TikTok influencer Dylan Mulvaney, who has 10 million followers on the platform. Bud Light and Mulvey did a promotional post together on her Instagram about a $15,000 giveaway that the company was sponsoring for March Madness. In the video, you can see that the company sent her a Tallboy can with her face on it and some other cans of beer. They chose to send out the PR package as a way to celebrate Mulvey's 365 days of girlhood. For a little background, for those of you who don't know who she is, her 365 days of girlhood was her celebration for her first public year of transitioning. She is a transgender TikTok influencer.
Since Mulvaney is a transgender influencer, this partnership generated backlash from conservative people. The backlash was a boycott of the beer Bud Light and the other products owned by Anheuser-Busch and Bev. And since a lot of their customers are white, like blue collar men who tend to lean conservatively, this is why their stocks took a fall and things like that, because they don't agree with Mulvaney and that partnership. Some prominent voices like Kid Rock, who's an American musician and singer, backed the boycott of the products. And he even posted a video of himself shooting a stack of Bud Light drinks in April, shortly after the partnership between Bud Light and Mulvaney. There was also the call for a boycott, which means people are encouraged to buy from the brand to support their marketing initiatives. The boycott wasn't enough to stop the company from facing harsh backlash and a decrease in sales. Bud Light sales fell 17% around April 15th. Due to the large number of the conservative consumers of Bud Light, Anheuser-Busch announced that two of its executives are going to be taking a leave of absence due to the whole scandal and the planning of that promotion with Mulvaney.
Yeah. So on April 14th of 2023, Anheuser-Busch, they discussed the boycott indirectly in a press release, saying, "We never intended to be part of a discussion that divides people. We are in the business of bringing people together over beer." Bud Light criticizers were not happy at all with this response. And I feel like for me personally, I don't think that in a response to something like this, there shouldn't have been an apology for promoting inclusivity unless they were going to take a direct stance on something, which they didn't really do. So people started complaining about their lack of a direct response to the boycott and started to harass Alisa Hernan-Schneid. Sorry if I'm saying that wrong. She was the vice president of marketing for Bud Light. She was previously quoted from a past interview saying that Bud Light had been branded with a fratty kind of out of touch humor, and it was important that they had another approach to their branding. I feel like there's some truth to that statement. Then you think about marketing and advertising stereotypes in our society. I know that this upset a lot of people with that statement, but when I think about sometimes beers and Budweiser and Bud Light, I always think of either Julia said before, blue collar older white men or frat guys at parties that drink beer instead of a vodka cran or something, or a seltzer or something. Yeah. So I know this has upset a lot of people in their consumer base, but that's always been a subconscious stereotype of their beer and people who drink beer in general.
Yeah, and along with their vice president of marketing, Bill Mulvaney, the influencer, talking in personal text in the months after she posted her partnership video. She stated in her TikTok video, what transpired from the video was more bullying and transphobia than I could have ever imagined, she said. I've been followed and I have felt a loneliness that I wouldn't wish on anyone. Stalking in personal texts in the months after she posted her partnership video. She stated in her TikTok video, what transpired from the video was more bullying and transphobia than I could have ever imagined, she said. I've been followed and I have felt a loneliness that I wouldn't wish on anyone. She also mentioned that Bud Light had not contacted her to offer any consolation or support. And she said, for a company to hire a trans person and then not publicly stand by them is worse, in my opinion, than not hiring a trans person at all. Which, yeah, they didn't double down on their stance to stand with Mulvaney at all. They literally just like, we don't want to be part of this conversation. But they should have known before the partnership that there was going to be like a problem and backlash. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
if they were going to do it and support it, and they have like that whole DEI statement on their website, and by them not like doubling back on their stance, it completely just took their values away and they didn't stand for what they are as a brand or what they say to be.
Yeah. So like I agree with what the TikTok influencer was saying. For them to take such like a bold step in their consumer base to promote and practice inclusivity within their brand, and then they doubled down when things got tough, it didn't really make sense for them not to reach out to her to at least like see how she's doing or kind of explain, you know, their point of view in the situation, because she was getting hateful messages and stalking and threatening, which isn't really okay in any situation, no matter like, you know, what the advertisement or issue was. But yeah, I feel like common sense when you think about Bud Light's reputation and their beliefs from a large conservative consumer base, they should have been more prepared for the backlash that they face from this ad. I feel like when they first reach out to her to do this promotional piece with them, with any influencer marketing, you know, whether or not you reach out with a presentation or a packet, you should definitely be more transparent in letting the influencer know the implications that might follow from collaborating with them, especially with Dylan in this instance. So they need to be more prepared for this as a company that isn't necessarily seen as the most socially progressive. And they should have prepared accordingly. They decided to give up when times got rough, and it was a bad move on the company's part. But they did announce in May that they're going to stick with sports and music as a way to subdue their larger fan base in any advertising and marketing they do from now forward.
Yeah, and they're wanting to focus on the sports and music, and they're assuming and they're in hopes of avoiding a situation like this in the future. They said they will continue doing campaigns around the NFL, baseball, and concerts, and making sure everything they do is just about beer and promoting beer. And they're kind of just taking a stance, like trying to get out of politics and all the backlash they have, but also not that like Mulvaney should be part of politics and she should live the way she
wants.
Yeah,
or like DEI in general.
Yeah, like
people put it into politics when it's not.
Right, and like that's, but their stance on it, they should have known that was political, because ever since like 2020, you know, everything has been politicized and things like that. But they're just trying to keep away from that, which I don't think in our day and age you can ever get away from that completely, because it's everything's going to be politicized. But I think overall they weren't prepared, and they should have just stood with what they did. And they wouldn't have, because that was why the boycott was so big, is because they angered their actual consumer base and they didn't stand with Mulvaney, which angered the other side of it.
Yeah, and I think like what they should, either way, they were going to have, you know, angry people on either side of the debate. They should have made a decision and stuck to it rather than kind of trying to like make people read in between the lines.
Yeah.
It's like either you're going to be promoting this or you're not going to.
Yeah,
you
they
can't
tried
really
to like
go back
retract
and forth.
It. And that's what made it such a bigger deal, because then both sides and everybody was mad at them. And that's what really like affected them, I think.
Yeah. So some of the pros from their response, a pro from a crisis perspective was that when they spoke out, they did shut down any rumors that the company fired their marketing team. They didn't fire them. They just did a leave of absence. So they did protect their internal communications that way by making a statement. They showed support for their employees. And then they did make a statement to continue their support for the LGBTQ plus community.
Some of the cons were just like the silence in the beginning to not taking a stand, because they didn't send out a press release or statement from the CEO until days or even maybe a week after like the whole boycott was coming down. And that just proved that they had no stance either way. And that's when they angered both sides, and their stock prices like prove that the boycott was affecting them in a bad way. Next time, the company like needs to be more transparent with its public. And as a company, you always want to respond first. You don't want people to make up rumors, let them keep circulating. You want to be direct. And they need to say something about how they have that DEI statement and their values that do support that community. And they never really, yeah, they said they supported it, like put out a statement just saying they still support it, but they never proved that in any way. They never, like we said, took the stance on we do support this person and things like that. And then like in the future for them, it's always important to reach out to the influencer you hired for the campaign, whether or not the influencer is in the wrong. In this situation in particular, Dylan didn't do anything wrong and was simply being attacked for being transgender, and they could have showed more support for her throughout the whole thing.
And like going back to what you said about where was it? Like about the DEI statements and stuff like that. It's like you want to make sure that when you're doing anything as a company, especially from like a moral and also like a business stand, that you're not doing it like for show. Like you're doing it because you truly believe in it and you mean it and it's actually important to you. So like some of my thoughts about the situation was like I want to just discuss their advertising in general. So something for me with the situation is I didn't know much about the boycott or anything, any of this happening prior to this podcast, just because like I just turned 21 recently. So like with when you see like behavioral marketing and targeting, the ads that I was seeing on my phone and like just doing stuff like browsing online, they were never really geared towards beer in general, especially not Bud Light or any beers like that. So I don't know. I feel like with this situation, it just goes to show, at least for me, that how behavioral targeting really can, you know, it gets to the people that it wants to get to. So for their fan base to be seeing like Bud Light's fan base to be seeing this ad in particular, it was such, I think, a bigger issue because the people that were seeing this ad were that white co or blue collar conservative fan base. It wasn't like just, you know, everyday random people in society seeing it on TV. It went directly to their fans. So they didn't have, you know, Dylan in particular didn't have a lot of probably that much support as they could have had from, you know, people who, you know, like me, I didn't care about that. I thought it was fine. Like, oh, it's an ad, whatever. Drink the beer, whatever. You know, like, I don't know. I just feel like that goes to show how effective behavioral targeting really is.
Yeah, because those people are probably the ones, like their consumer base, probably the ones that saw Bud Lights all the time because they were always like buying it and looking it up and doing things like that. So then they see this ad because obviously when Mulvaney posted it, there were hashtags of Bud Light, but okay, you're gonna see it. And yeah, they could have, for me, I did see it because I'm like an avid like Twitter user. It's X now, and there's always the boycotts on Twitter and stuff. I mean, you see news like crazy on Twitter, and I keep up with it. And I'm also like, I'm 22, so I've been around, like I've looked up in my search like good drinks to get at the bar, like cocktails. Like, I'm not a beer person, but I did look up bars and things like so. I mean, like I'm gonna see that because it's like targeted towards me. But I think the main reason I saw it first was just because it was on Twitter, like it was everywhere on there, and just the amount of like backlash they were getting on there. And I was reading comments and things like that, and it's like they just didn't respond. And I was like,
Yeah, it
okay,
was
well, you
silence.
can't have silence. Like that's one of the first things we learn about crisis is like, you cannot be silent in situations like that.
And we have the perfect 7-step guide, or 8-step guide to manage a PR crisis better. So, some of the first ones are to gather all information on the issue, like the who, what, where, why, and when. What happened? Who's responsible? Where did it happen? Like, what's the root cause of it? It's important to be honest and take responsibility for whatever fault you or your company may have. You have to determine who is responsible and liable for the issue. You may not have actual fault in the issue, and that's fine, but it's important to gather all the information first before you make a response. When you're writing out a press release, make sure it's detailed. Explain the issue, mention your brand's values, apologize when appropriate, and take a stand when needed. You should avoid any like defensive comments and try to make sure that when you take when you're in your press release writing about it, you are very much clear on what your stance is. You shouldn't make people have to read in between the lines. That's how rumors come up and, you know, more clarity is needed. It's important to react as soon as possible, find a proper fix or conclusion to the issue, and to respond to any questions or concerns that arise, and then analyze and learn from that crisis.
Yeah, we also want to mention something that wasn't in the 7-step guide. It's important to ensure that your company is on the same page internally and using the same type of speech and messaging when discussing the crisis, because the press release from Bud had a different language than the interviews did. And like everyone seems to be on the same page, giving out the same message, and they just weren't. And that's where all the rumors arise, and everything was just so unclear from their standpoint. But
yep. So we have a question to close out our podcast. Can you think of a time when you contemplated or did boycott a brand, company, or product because they did or support something that you did not agree with? Thank you guys so much
Thank
for
you.
listening. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Please subscribe, share, or send us your comments on SoundCloud, iTunes, or Spotify. Find us on Twitter using the hashtag PR Online Chat. We're looking forward to hearing from you.